Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Sometimes we don't understand the way that the Lord would lead us, but the old song says that we'll understand it better by and by. And life is real, Brother David mentioned here, and he uses different ways to get to different people. And may the Lord help us to be submissive to His will. I'd like to look over in our Christian hymnals on page 572. I hadn't thought about it, but here it seems like that the writer of this song, Fanny Crosby, was one who the Lord had allowed this to come into her life, where she was blind, but she had something that kept her, and she longed to see her Savior first of all, and she would know Him by the prints of the nails in His hand. Let's stand together as we sing 572. When my life work is ended and I cross swelling sorrow, when the bride and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. Smile be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him, that prepare the sky. I shall know third verse says, oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. And our parting at the river, I recall, to the sweet vale of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. Parting at the river I recall, to the sweet vale of Eden, sing my welcome home. Long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, by the print nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight,
but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know
seated. I like that song especially. It just really means a lot to me. Someone was mentioning just last night about some of the little ones that have gone on. And some of these things would just, it comes close to home sometimes. And it would just grip our hearts and we can't explain it. But just also on the, to think of it on the side as God looks on it is their home. Their home. No more trials, no temptations, nothing. Their home with Jesus. And we don't have to worry about them not being there. They're there. And so God's way is best. I'd like to look over into 1 Thessalonians, if you'd like to turn with us. 1 Thessalonians, I'd like to start in the 4th chapter. And begin with the 13th verse. I think every time I fly, I'm inspired to look just a little bit higher. I get up a ways, but one of these days, if we're true to the Lord, we're going to go a lot higher than that. And I would be terrified if it, to go higher than the planes go if it wasn't that I knew that it was all in His hands. How many of you have ever flown on a plane? Okay. How many have flew on a plane before you were 20 years old? A lot of you. The first time I ever flew on a plane was when I was in Bible school, coming back from Bible school in Ohio. And I would have been, let's see, I would have been 20 or 21. First time I ever flew on a plane. And I think my mother was thinking that I was going to be flying on that plane, and I don't know if that's what put her in the hospital, but when I got back, she was had a gallbladder attack and was in the hospital with major surgery. And I was just about as scared as what she was, I think. Let's just bow our heads before we start reading the scripture. Father, as we come to Thee this morning, we're so thankful for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for each one of us, that we might make it safely home. We thank Thee for the grace of God and for the faithfulness of God, even in some of these things which seem like terrible tragedies to us and the loss of loved ones. Oh, Father, we pray that Thou will especially be with those who have lost these loved ones and comfort them and help them and encourage them, Lord. Help each one of us to again realize the finalness of the end of life and how that eternity begins and life is gone forever. We pray that Thou will help us today, Lord, that by the grace of God, that the scriptures that we read together might encourage us to be faithful to Thee and to be true to Thee and to walk humbly before Thee. We just need Thy help today, and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and starting with the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so this morning, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about this most important time of our life. We spend our time here on this earth, and hopefully we're properly preparing for the time when time will end and eternity will begin, and we'll never see time again. Time is a time for preparation and properly preparing. There's different ways of preparing, but there's only one way will get us to where we want to go in eternity in the right way. So he says here that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, for ye sorrow not, even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then he shows a scene here that I believe is very close. People are slipping away day by day. Loved ones are slipping away. The elderly are slipping out into eternity. It's just amazing to me. The ones that I grew up with, were that many of them are already slipped on out into eternity. Some of the ones that I went to school with in the public school are gone. One boy, a young fellow, slipped away, grade under me, and it really shook the students that were there. Another girl slipped away. She was a wild girl. She wanted to have dancing in the school. And the school that I was going to at Rogersville at that time wouldn't permit it. Said if she's going to do it, she's going to have to get it someplace else. And so she did. She got a young fella that was about like what she was, and away they went to Springfield to have a big dance. And when the dance is over, they got in their Corvette, and I don't even know if you young people even know what a Corvette looks like, but back when I was growing up, I could name all the different cars, and now I can't name hardly any of them. They're such different wild names, I'm lost. But that was back in the day when some of you older ones were around, they had those long Corvettes. They sat low and supposed to hold to the road and high speed. And so I suppose they were having a big time. They had their way. The school said they couldn't have it, but they had their way. They got their dance. They had their dance. Now they were going home, and I don't know whether there were drinks involved or what all there was, but they were coming out what we'd call James River Freeway. That's all turned around from what it is now. It's changed. And they were coming to the James River Hill, went right down to the river. And up on the top, he must have just slammed her to the floor. And probably like the growling motors and the everything roaring and power. And down the hill he came with his girlfriend. And they sailed on down. And as he was getting down towards the end, he reached over to pick up a cigarette. And when he did, just like that, he was off the road and the car went every which way. A little bit later, the ambulance was there. The girl was the coach's daughter at Rogersville High School. She was cut completely in half. He was so mangled that they took a body bag and finally got it around him, but he was still alive. And he said, "I was going 120 miles an hour, and I reached down to pick up a cigarette, and I lost it." And he didn't live very long at all. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Holy Spirit, we're going to reap eternal life." That was one of my students that was with me in high school at Rogersville High School in the public school. Another young man, nice young fellow. He was a real athlete. He could hit home runs. He was popular in our room. But not only with some people, if they get popular, they get so stuck up that you can't really talk to them. They're full of themselves. But he wasn't that way. He was a nice young fella. And he asked me one time, sometimes at school, I would carry a little New Testament in my pocket. And in study hall, if there was some extra time, I'd read a little bit in my New Testament. And one time he asked me the question. He said, "Are you afraid to die?" Well, I said, "No. As long as I'm ready, I'm not afraid to die." And he looked at me and he said, I am. But somehow that it spoke to him that, you know, someone was reading their Bible. Someone was more concerned about those things than some of their wild parties we'd hear about the next day. One young fellow would come in and he would tell about how drunk he got and how a fool he made of himself and how he acted. He'd tell all about that. And they would laugh and hoot and holler. But you know, something about death all of a sudden brings a soberness to all of us, every one of us. Even the stoutest, the roughest, the crudest, death, when it approaches, all of a sudden, there's something about it that gets their attention. And at that time, they would probably wish that they were like one of the innocent little ones, that they could just go out into eternity like that before they came to the age of accountability and were so accountable for all the things that they've done and so, this awful thoughts that are going through their minds, and they're not prepared to die. And that young man, he was an athlete. He was a friendly young man. And he got married, and they had several children. And I'm not for sure all the details. All I heard was that he was hurled out into eternity in a car wreck, and his little children were left. And I don't know about his wife, what happened there. But another student that was one of the students in my room, they took his little children and adopted them into their home. So his wife must have been killed too. I don't know. A nice young man, popular, ball player, home runs every time, friendly. Everybody liked him. But you know, what will we do with Jesus? Only what's done for him will last. We can do everything and be a success down here in this life. But when we come to the end of life, it doesn't matter how much money we got in the bank or what kind of nice houses we have or cars we drive or clothes we wear or how popular we are or how talented we are. But it's, do we have a close relationship with the Lord? Will he claim us for his own? Will he say, I'm not ashamed. Come on in to the promised land. And he will take us to through the promised land, lead us through the promised land. And I believe, like Fanny Crosby said, she's looking forward for the time when she would meet those that had already gone before. But she longed to meet her Savior first of all. Isn't that something? Her love for him was more than even the love for her closest relatives and those that had gone on before. One of these days, the ones that have already gone before, and so thankfully that we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope for the ones that have gone on before and have had their trust in the Lord, we don't have to sorrow. We're grieved. Yes, we are. And it's hard for us to get away from it. But we can be so thankful that they're with Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank the Lord. That's where they are. And we can be so thankful that they made it safely home. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's coming back one of these days. He promised, and the angels, when he went up into the sky, the angels said to the disciples, this one that you've seen go up in the sky is in the clouds. He's going to come back in the same way that he went up. He's coming back. And that's the promise for you. You can be encouraged. You're grieving, you're sorrowing because your master has slipped away up into the sky. But he's coming back, so keep hope in him. Keep your trust in him. There is nothing else that counts. We can have the world. We can take the bits in our own, the reins in our own hands. We can do what we want to do, what we think we want to do. But the devil is the master of many. But thank the Lord if we're really an old-fashioned Christian that believes the Bible and believes that every word, every bit of it, and does our very best to walk humbly before God. We can look forward to the day when he's going to greet us and we can realize that this is my Savior. I've thought a lot of times, you know, we pray, we talk to him, he speaks to us, but what will it be like? Like the old song says, when we get over yonder and see him face to face we shall behold him and then realize that this is the one that died for me. This is the one that sent his Holy Spirit to be the comforter that would indwell my heart and lead me and guide me into all truth and keep me through the trials and the tribulations of life and bring me safely home. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're all going to be gathered together on that last great day. That old song says, when the trump of God shall sound and time shall be no more. You know, will we hear that trumpet? Will we answer? And will we be ready on that great day? And then it's going to happen just like that. It's going to be instantaneous. The scripture speaks about in the twinkling of an eye. It didn't say, I've heard people talk about this, it didn't say in the batting of an eye, but the twinkling of an eye. The eyes twinkle so much faster than you can just close them or open them. It's in an instant that he's going to come again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Descend from heaven with a shout. There's one glorious victory sound, a shout. And then he says, in the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I was really touched as we went on our trip up to Alberta this last week. We left on Monday and flew clear on, well, they backtracked us. You know how it is. They sent us clear down to Dallas, Texas. And then we sat there and we sat there and we sat there. And our time for our plane was to depart. And we were still sitting there. And they said, well, we have some maintenance problems. And, you know, if they're having a maintenance problems, I just assume they have them while I'm still sitting. I don't want it to happen when I get up there. If I had to sit 3 hours, I'd assume be sitting on the ground and up there, worrying how they're going to get back down. But we were having maintenance problems, and they were. And I was a little worried because I knew that once we got up there to Calgary, that we only had 1 hour to get ready to fly on to Edmonton. And, of course, you have to get your stuff and you have to go through all the different things, the screening and the whole works, security. You have to get your suitcases and check them in. And after we'd sat 2 or 3 hours, I figured, there's no way I'm going to make that plane because we was already getting too late. And sure enough, when we got there, went into the airport and the plane was already gone. It was already gone. And they were very helpful. They act like they felt for us. Maybe we looked sad enough. I don't know. But it was after 1 o'clock, I think it was. And so they gave me a voucher to sleep in the Marriott. I never slept in a Marriott hotel before. It's usually a Super 8 or something like that. But the Marriott was right part of the airport. But I only had 3 hours that I could sleep, get a shower, sleep for 3 hours, get up. And even though we're right there in the airport, I had to get right back down there an hour and a half before we flew at 7 o'clock. So I had to be down there at 5:30. So it felt good getting a shower, and it felt good for 3 hours of sleep. That was better than sitting in some of those hard benches. And we got on the plane, finally, and made our way on back up to Edmonton. Bought a rental car. I was supposed to meet the other brethren at the airport the night before, and we were all going to ride in the rental car about an hour and a half on up north of there at Westlaw. But they had to go on, so I got the rental car and tried to figure out that big old city of Edmonton where to go, and I pulled out of the airport and turned the wrong way on a one-way street right off. And here was one of these places where people walk across the road from this part of the airport to the other, and I saw a fellow coming along, and he was looking at me, and I thought, what's wrong? Well, sometimes we get to going backwards, and we don't know what's wrong. A little bit further up, thankfully, here was a car coming my way in my lane, but he turned off into parking at the airport, and I thought, I must be going the wrong way. So I got switched around fast and headed back and hoped about nobody saw me. Well, we got there and two days of meetings and different things going on, ready to come back. And I think every one of us was wanting to be for sure that we didn't miss any planes. It's not a fun thing to miss planes and sit in the airport all night long. And so we decided after our last meeting, it was about 10:30, and one of the first of the brethren, he was supposed to be at his gate at 4 something in the morning. The next one is at 6 something in the morning, and I was supposed to be there at 10:30, just before noon. And we all decided together, we're not going to lay down and sleep. We'll just get sleepy, and then we can't get up and get around. We're just going to go straight to the airport and do our sleeping right at our gates or right where we will get on our planes, and we won't miss our plane. And so we ended up at the airport just a little after midnight. So the first fella had to spend over 4 hours, the next one over 6 hours, and I had 11 and a half hours to spend. So we sort of got separated, and with one brother, Henry Dirksen, the counters weren't even open, but he found a couple people behind there, and they helped him out and give him his tickets right then. Old brother Joe Yoder was there, and he thought, well, maybe he could get up there and convince somebody to give him his tickets right off. Well, he come back disappointed, you know, you got to wait till 3 or 4 in the morning, something like that. And so we all sat down and started waiting our time. I'm glad that we don't have to do that in waiting for the Lord, aren't you? I'm glad we can be busy about the Lord's business. We don't just have to sit and let time go on. But anyway, we got to our gates. Beforehand, there was a little eating place down there about 1:30, and I thought, I'm just going to sit down and try to get calm down. And so they had a turkey sandwich. I got one of them. And pretty soon down the escalator come the other two brethren. They spotted me over there, and so they got a little something. And then they were gone, and that was the last we saw of each other. So I waited until midnight and got my tickets at the ticket counter, but she said, you can't put your luggage on until 5 hours before the flight. So I had to wait till 6:30 to put my luggage on. And then wait another 5 hours until 11:30, almost 12 hours sitting in those chairs. And I had up and down and walking around and sat. And it's a good time to watch people and see all the types of, we all make up a pretty interesting bunch when you look at us, I guess. But I got on my plane, finally, and thought, well, everything's going to go just fine. And we flew out to Calgary and then flew back to Dallas, Texas, and I knew that we had at Dallas, Texas, just a little time until I get the plane to Springfield. And so I rushed downstairs. I was going to get my baggage right fast and get back up there to the gate. And I watched and I waited and waited. No baggage came for a long time, probably 15, 20 minutes. And then pretty soon one or two suitcases came. And mine didn't come. I thought, there should be boarding the plane right now. And here I am down here watching for this baggage. If I had it to do over, I'd be smarter. I just forget the baggage and get up there and get on the plane and let them take care of the baggage. But I was thinking about my stuff in that baggage. I was concerned about my baggage. And you know, a lot of times people are concerned about their baggage more than they're concerned about getting ready. When the last call goes out, the trump of God sounds and time shall be no more and the door is shut and that is it. And finally, I talked to a lady down there. She looked at my dear. Oh, she said, that baggage has already been set right on through to Springfield. It's gone. It won't be coming here. So now I had to go back through security. You know how that all is. Take your belt off, take your shoes off, take everything out and get scanned and the whole works. And I was wondering about my plane. And what so impressed me was the situation then that I saw after that. I came up and found out where my gate was, and I made a beeline for my gate. And you know, sometimes people don't go fast, but I saw grown men and grown women running as fast as they could with their baggage in their hands. Evidently, they thought they were just about too late. Just about too late. I saw one young man take off, and he ran up the escalator, and there were other people standing there, and he ran right on past them and flew up the escalator. He was desperate to get his flight. But, you know, if we would be so desperate to get there a little bit early and to plan a little bit better, we wouldn't have to be so desperate at the last moment. And that's, I'm afraid, the situation that a number of people, the devil tells them, you've got plenty of time. I've heard people say that, and I said it myself. Well, we've got so and so many hours, we've got plenty of time. But we never know if we've got plenty of time or not. We think we have plenty of time, but that doesn't mean that we do. I came down the hall and saw the number from my gate up there. And I came walking up and looking, and the seats were all empty. I don't know what kind of expression I had on my face, but it was probably pretty let down. And I even went over to the door and tried the door. When the door is shut and the thing is locked, it doesn't do any good to try it. When God shut the door on the ark, God shut the door, and it was done. That was it. The time of opportunity was all those years that Noah preached to the people. And he preached the truth. He was a godly preacher. He thundered the truth out to them, but they didn't listen. It sounded so, oh, surely God wouldn't do that to them. We've never seen rain or flood like this before. Surely God wouldn't do that to them. But God kept his word. God's absolute. He'll keep his word every time. You can believe in him. You can trust in him. And you can put your faith in him. I'm so thankful that when people come to the Lord and they need God, they need help, that they can put their confidence in him, that if they confess their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. You don't have to doubt God's word. If we do our part and come to him, he won't cast us out. The door is open. He's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to everlasting life. There was a lady standing over there, and she wasn't with the airport as far as I knew, but I was looking around desperately. What can I do? The plane's right out there. I can see it. And somebody said, they just went out the door. I need to be on that plane. It's right there. It's my last plane to home. Surely I'm not going to miss this one. So I asked the lady, I said, is there anyone to talk to? There was nobody at the desk. They had already left. And she says, well, I can give you the American Airlines number. So she gave it to me by memory. And I thought, how does she know that by memory? And I quickly punched it in my phone. Nothing. Just recordings and all that thing. And I was desperate. I didn't have time to wait on some recording. I needed something now. The plane was there. It looked like the door was shut. And I needed it on that plane. And she ran down the hall and got a supervisor and another person that went out the door. They got through the door, and they were going to see. They said the door on the plane was shut, and they just didn't know if they'd be able to get it open or not. They came back with sad news, and we looked out and we saw the plane starting to back out. The door was shut, the plane was backing out, and I missed my flight. Maybe just by 5 minutes. Maybe just by 5 minutes, I missed it. But it was for good. And then I had a bunch of airline people standing around me. They were sorrowing for me too, it looked like. But you know, on that last great day, what a day it will be when people realize that the door was shut and they were not ready. And their loved ones have gone to be with Jesus. And now there's nothing left for them but eternity without God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is for us. This is the last, one of the last promises. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, that Jesus is coming soon. And if we're ready, the door won't be shut for us. We'll be there on time, and we can enter in and feel the, it won't be just like the thrust of those big airliners that set you back in the seat and then up in the air you go. But it'll be a lot faster than that. There won't have to be any thrust to it. Gravity will lose its hold on the people of God, and they shall go up together to meet the Lord, to be with him forever. Let's kneel in prayer.